Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Have you ever had an itch in the middle of your back that you couldn't scratch? It's driving you bonkers till somebody comes along and says, let me get that for you. And you say, ah, which is precisely what I am doing right now. Metaphorically, of course, this is Wretched Radio. What is the itch that I've been aching to scratch? Expository preaching. You say, wait a second, this is not going to be a critique of expository preaching. We love expository preaching. We're weary from topical dreck. And I join you in that weariness. But I've noticed that expository preaching has perhaps overcorrected. From whence do I get that? Well, from listening to a lot of expository sermons that, wow, they sure are giving me a lot of facts and figures and parsing them verbs, and giving me all kinds of historical context, all stuff that I dig, by the way, but it feels like I'm learning, but my emotions aren't being affected, and my will isn't perhaps being as changed as it should be. And when I go back and read sermons from guys that we admire and esteem, I can't help but notice they are not doing expository preaching the way that we are doing it in great number these days. Please note, big fan of line by line, verse by verse, taking a book, making your way through it. Yep, you can inject a topical sermon here or there based on the needs of the congregation, pastor. But I think that there are more pros to doing book by book, verse by verse, than doing the type of preaching that when you go back and you read the Reformers, for instance, it's not like you go like, okay, I'm going to start with Matthew 1 and make my way through it. They're just all over the place because they had perhaps a different goal. Did they teach? Frankly, they taught better than any of us do these days. But they were going for transformation, not just education. And whilst I still want to hold on to line by line, verse by verse, I think that it is high time that we examine how our expositional preaching is being delivered. I'm a fan, but not if it falls short. Not if it doesn't stir. Not if it doesn't exalt Jesus Christ and make him the lovely one that he is. You say, with the lovely one language. There was a song, I think I shared it here a week or two ago, The King in All His Beauty. And maybe you heard that and you hear the word beauty and you're like, oh, I'm telling you, the Puritans used it all the time. In fact, I was reading a commentary, I believe it was Andrew McLaren, and it was Matthew 20-ish, somewhere in that neighborhood. And it was titled, The Beauty of the King. These guys weren't afraid to use language that exalted Jesus, that caught the ear so that the heart was affected. They spoke very highly of Jesus Christ in their preaching because they were seeking transformation more than education. And maybe, just maybe, a Presbyterian will help us all scratch that itch of concern that we see and set us on a new trajectory, a new path for the type of preaching we consume and the type of preaching we're preaching. His name is Ryan Denton. He's a Presbyterian pastor writing at Reformation 21. The title reads, Expository Preaching, The New Golden Calf. Don't you touch expository. We're about expository preaching. So am I. But we would do well to ask if our expository preaching is all that it should be. Here are the words of the Presbyterian, how we as expositors have responded to the topical glop that is out there. And if you're not familiar with the distinction, a topical glop is basically, hey friend, do you struggle with communication? I know that my wife and I do. In fact, the other day we were talking and she said this and I said that. And then I said this and wow, we got into a big row because we weren't communicating well. Do you ever do that? Well, here's a verse that's going to help you. He reads a verse, even like a portion of a verse, and then launches into 10 tips to better communication. Those life hacks might be helpful, but that ain't preaching. That's a man's lecture, and he's simply using a Bible verse to give him a purpose in delivering his presentation, probably based on some book that he read on having better communication skills. And this is going on. In fact, yesterday, I was working on my book, which is going to be out next spring. Greg's book is out now. You can pre-order it, FortisInstitute.org/lies. Mine comes out in the spring, and I was working on a chapter encouraging the reader to consume Christ-exalting expository preaching. And in an effort to explain the difference between expository preaching, line by line, verse by verse, versus topical, I asked the AI machine, hey, would you please find some actual topical sermons that are intended to help people with their finances, their marriage, and their parenting? And it delivered, and it made my eyes grow. Jimmy, do you want to repeat my endeavor to use the AI machine to come up? Go ask Mr. AI or Ms. AI or whatever gender AI happens to be for some actual topical sermon titles. Whilst you do that, I will share with you Ryan Denton's thoughts on our overcorrection. While the expository response has been correct in principle, it has sometimes fallen short in practice. We've corrected the sentimentalism of evangelical preaching by replacing it with exegesis. Yay. But in doing so, we have too often stopped there. We have taught our men to expound the word, but not necessarily to preach it. We have trained them to analyze the text, but not to apply it with unction. There's a word we used to use. Urgency. We've traded emotionalism for sterility. We've insisted on doctrinal depth, but have neglected the spiritual burden that must accompany it. Oh, he got that spot. Right. Couldn't scratch me. That's what I've been trying to say, sir. Exposition alone is not preaching, he writes. That is teaching. That's the difference. And that expositional preaching has some fire to it. But I think even more than just being hot, it needs to be a spotlight, and its direction needs to be precisely aimed at Jesus Christ. Because even if expository preaching with some doesn't exalt Jesus, I think that too falls short. Back to the Presbyterian, preaching is more than a delivery of biblical data. Preaching is the heralding of truth that lays claim to the soul. It is truth through personality, yes, but more than that, it is truth pressed upon the conscience with divine authority. It's the living word proclaimed by a living man to other living souls, calling them to believe, to repent, to rejoice, to tremble, to obey. And let's just add to that list, to trust, to love, to be comforted by, to grow in holiness from our God. He writes, I believe our fear of shallow preaching has driven us into a lifeless pulpit. The answer to emotionalism is not mere data dumping cloaked with religious language. We cannot be content with sermons that merely explain. We need sermons that wound and heal, that break the heart and bind it up with gospel balm. We need preaching that sounds less like a lecture and more like a lifeline to desperate sinners. Jimmy, did the AI machine deliver as I anticipate?
Yes.
What do you got?
Finding happily even after.
Fighting?
Finding.
Finding happily ever after.
Even after.
Even.
I don't. That's what it says. Finally.
That's like a marriage thing or how to date somebody. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Good.
Love, laughter, and laundry.
Oh, that sounds really biblical.
The secret sauce.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay. How about parenting? Surviving parenthood without losing your mind.
Yeah. See that. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
From,
catchy.
From chaos to calm.
Okay. Now here's where we don't want to go totally off the rails. I'll go partially off, but not totally. all of those things, they those are all interesting subjects, but they sound like they could be a TED talk just as easily as a sermon. We want this spot, all of these, how to become a better, how to experience more, how to get, it's like you're aiming toward me and my felt needs, which is a lot of topical preaching. It needs to be aimed at Jesus. And it's really not that hard to do in my estimation. A pastor just needs to spend time thinking about it. What does this text say about our Savior? So that when I read the text and exposit the text, teach on the text, it has a purpose and a goal to show me what that text is revealing about Jesus Christ. And topical preaching doesn't do that when it's focused at fixing my felt needs, my busted this, my broken that, my needing help here and there because life ain't all that I want it to be. I think expository preaching accomplishes that the best, but alas, or a lad, if you prefer, it's still falling short. The corrective to topical preaching, perhaps the pendulum has swung too far and you say, well, where's the center on this deal? Glad you asked. Next on Wretched Radio.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to Him in Scripture. One name is El Roi, the God who sees. God is ultimately aware and concerned for us. Nothing escapes His vision. For the unsaved, this is a great terror. but for those who are in Christ, this is a great comfort. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, 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 it's not Fat Albert. It's Wretched Radio encouraging you to please, would you please, consider visiting FortisInstitute.org/truth. Why? We have a matching gift campaign going on right now so that we can close our store. We're gonna empty the warehouse of all the physical copies, and then we are giving away all of our resources around the globe, sending them out electronically with zero price tag. Why? Because there's a lot of people who can't afford good stuff. And we believe that courtesy of the generosity of God's people, we can get good Bible teaching materials into the hands of far more people if they don't have to pay for it. That's the campaign called Truth Unhindered. If you'd like to join us, we'd be muy grateful. FortisInstitute.org/truth. And speaking of truth, here's an example of a topical sermon. When Gracie met Truthy, remember that disaster? What was that? It was a topical sermon. And it was perfect, actually, because for a lot of these topical preachers, Truthy is about right. Well, preaching is supposed to be about truth declaration, but it is not merely to be stating facts. And that is, I fear, the ditch that many preachers are currently in right now in our conservative evangelical circles. They have seen the nonsense that comes out of topical preaching. You got any more of them titles, Jimmy?
Oh, I got a lot.
I'll bet you do.
Parenting hacks. Real.
Oh, it literally said parenting hacks.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Perfect.
Real.
Yeah, that's honest.
How about real talk?
Yes.
How about finances? Finding peace in your wallet. Making ends meet without losing your joy.
You know, here's the funny thing about finding peace in your wallet. Nobody carries one anymore.
I don't.
Like, right? Like, finding peace in your, PayPal or what? Venmo. Now that's contemporary, baby. There has been a boatload of awful preaching that has been going on in evangelical circles for so long, and rightly so. That was identified and an attempt was made to correct it. And it's called expository preaching. I'll state it again. I'm a fan. I'm a big, big fan. I am okay. You know, I really do. I see the strength in preaching the way that the old dead guys did. I do. Because a lot of it was based on the church calendar. But I was reading, it's funny. I've got in my library at home, I've got commentaries from a lot of dead guys. And I remember when I went to look up the commentary, I wanted to see what one of the Protestant reformers had to say on the text. So I grabbed the volume one because that I was in Matthew. And there wasn't a sermon in the entire first book about Matthew. And it's like, hey, wait a second. It's all over the place. What is this? Well, it's the way that they used to preach. Dead guys used to take whatever text they chose for the good of their people and preach it. Expositionally to a degree. Why? Because it was didactic, but it wasn't line by line, verse by verse, book by book. It was using whatever verse they chose. And did they teach? They absolutely did, but they did more than what I think a lot of guys are doing today who have perhaps overcorrected. And I got to tell you, that is why this article called Expository Preaching, the New Golden Calf, just made my heart soar. Good. Let's start a trend. Where we return to, ready for this word, not expository, but what this Presbyterian author calls experiential preaching. You say, I'm not sure I like the sound of that word. That seems to indicate, like, is that like experiencing God? Is that what that is? No, it's experiential preaching. Here's the definition, courtesy of this author. It's preaching that not only explains the word of God, but presses it experientially upon the conscience with power, urgency, and spiritual application. I want to go further than that. I want to go to, yeah, it does that. As it goes about the business of shining the spotlight on Jesus Christ, if a sermon isn't doing that, frankly, the rest of it, interesting, but I think it falls short. Even as we go about the business, if there's a corrective that needs to take place, how's about if there's a stern attribute? There's something that we're reading in the Bible about God. Okay, great. Let's use it. Let's warn people. But how does it point to Jesus? I think it's a step that we're simply not taking. Okay, let me here's an example, perhaps. We're in Matthew at Alpharetta Bible Church, and maybe you could tell. And Jesus is giving his Olivet Discourse, and he's talking about the division of sheep and goats. And he says to those on his left, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." How does that verse help you love Jesus more? I would bet very few preachers ask that question of a text like that, or maybe, frankly, any text. There are a lot of good preachers who do, don't get me wrong, and I'm not talking to you, sir. But I'm talking about a number of guys that have been very influenced by expository preaching, which is wonderful, but it's falling short. So I would ask you the question, how does Jesus separating the wheat from the goats help us love him more? That's your homework. Think on it. Think on it. And then imagine you're writing a sermon about it. Because if you don't ask and answer that question, your sermon is going to be about, well, let's study the word left. You see, the word left, it's a Latin word that is sinister, which means sinister because left-handed people weren't trusted. In fact, there are even some schools long ago that would try to teach a kid how to write with their right hand because being left-handed was socially... Okay. Lots and lots of information. How does it help me love Jesus more? What does knowing that Jesus Christ, he's the one who's going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." How does that help me love him more? How does that help me even to love unbelievers more? How does that help me to not want to seek vengeance on people who have wronged me? If we aren't probing texts to reflect and reveal that this is what our God is like, I appreciate the exegesis, but I'd appreciate it a lot more if it pointed us to Jesus, to the article. To give you an example of this, consider the sermons by Spurgeon, J.C. Ryle, Samuel Davies, Jonathan Edwards, and the Puritans. Their sermons were not merely informational. They were confrontational in the best sense. Get ready for this. This is his estimation. They were 90% application, 10% exegesis. It was urgent, warm, and searching. It was intent on ferreting out sinners, pleading with them to close with Christ? Huh. To come to Jesus Christ. The word was not simply explained, it was wielded. Their aim was not just to inform the mind, but to awaken the conscience, to expose the heart, and above all, to press Christ upon the hearer. They did not merely ask, "What does the text mean?" But what does this text demand of you right now? And let me add again, and what does this text reveal about my Savior? Today, the ratio has been flipped. It's 90% exegesis, 10% application, if that. It's parsing verbs, outlining the historical context, delivering doctrinal precision. But if preaching becomes little more than a theological lecture, we've missed the point entirely. Paul did not charge Timothy to exegete the word, but to preach it. And there's a world of difference between the two. Most modern pulpits, writes the Presbyterian, sound more like seminary classrooms than sacred desks. Information is flowing, brains are engaged, but the heart, the conscience, the will, too often left untouched. And he puts this little nota bene at the end of his article. This is not a rejection of biblical exegesis or what we call verse-by-verse preaching. But with few exceptions, you would have a difficult time proving that this was the normal practice of our forefathers, many of whom were powerful preachers and saw mighty outpourings of the Spirit in their day. As important as the intellect is, it is not everything. It is not even the main thing when it comes to preaching the word of God. Question, what sort of preaching are you sitting under? Pastor, may I ask you, what sort of sermons are you delivering? And is it, and by the way, we should all answer this question the same way. do you need a corrective? And I would answer that question, yes, I always do. we're just pendulum swingers. I fix this, I get too much of for this. This could be so, by the way, what I'm suggesting and encouraging, that could become a ditch too, where it's just nothing but gloppy, goopy, syrupy. Isn't God just lovely and beautiful and amazing? And it doesn't have any teaching to support it. Preaching is a tricky business. It's a delicate affair. But I do believe that every single pastor would do well to assess, am I shining the spotlight on Jesus Christ? Are my people being affected? Are their brains being filled up, but only in the goal of affecting the affections? This is Wretched Radio.